Good evening, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Bless God. Who of you are aware of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Just wave at me if you've actually heard of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right. Tonight, I'm going to give you a teaching on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But before I give you the teaching, I'm just going to share with you a little bit about my own life and how this impacted my life. Now, some of you probably know my testimony, and a lot of you don't know my testimony. And I'm going to share this with you because I believe that that'll help you to understand how the Lord worked practically in my life. And you see, the thing is, the Lord is not a respecter of man. If the Lord can work in one man's life, He can work in anybody's life that will allow Him to work. One of the biggest stumbling blocks that we have when it comes to things such as the working of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of God manifesting, is our outlook from a theological point of view. No matter how many churches you go to, if you go to 10 different churches, you will probably find 10 different ways of interpreting Scripture. And, you know, the funny thing is, when you compare some of them, it might sound like you are reading a totally different book. Who of you have seen that in the past? All right? Now, that is the scary thing about how people use the Word of God. I will never forget many years ago, well, not that long ago, about 2 years ago, I was invited to come and preach at a cell group. It was a fairly big group. And they asked me to come and speak, and I can't remember exactly what I spoke on. But after I spoke, there was pandemonium in the place because the person that was there the week before used the same scriptures that I did, and he brought a totally contrary message to the one that I brought. And everybody was up in arms, and they said, but this is rubbish, how can this be? And, you know, there was also some young Christians there, and they did not take this very well, because they said, now, how can we serve God when there is contradiction? And I had to explain to them that there is no contradiction. The Word of God is the Word of God. I can tell you something. Would some of you just mind just raising your Bible? Let me just see, who have you brought your sword? Anybody brought this sword? Right, now, here's the interesting thing. When we compare our Bibles, they will say the same thing. I don't care whether you've got a different translation to mine, it should not change the meaning. But when somebody preaches it, it can change the meaning radically and drastically. And this is what we must be very careful of, because you know what? When man interprets the Word of God, instead of letting God speak through His Word, that's when you get situations where somebody can take one scripture and another person can take the same scripture and it can sound like they are bringing an opposing message. The Word of God, my friend, will stand the test of time. The Word of God will never, ever, ever change. It'll always say the same thing. God loves sinners. Jesus gave His life to find, for us to have a way to get, be restored to God our Father. It'll always tell us that God will give His Holy Spirit to help us in our new life. It'll always tell us that God hates sin, even though He loves sinners, etc., etc., etc. Now, the point that I'm trying to make is this. We were having a bit of a discussion earlier. And somebody brought out a booklet that was written to try and explain away the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is written, and there are numerous scriptures being quoted, etc., etc., trying to explain that the gifts of the Holy Spirit should not be a factor in today's life and in today's society. The standpoint is that it has ceased with the apostles. In other words, there is no such thing as speaking in tongues anymore. There is no such thing as prophecy anymore. There is no such thing as discerning of spirits anymore. There is no such thing as working of miracles, etc., etc. I don't know about you, but from what I've seen and from what I've experienced in the walk that I have with God, that is the biggest load of rubbish that I have ever heard. Because you know what? The Word of God said, Jesus said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And on your servants and your handmaidens, I will pour out my Spirit and they will prophesy. Now, when will the Spirit of God be poured out? In the last days. Now that happened 2,000 years ago. Where are we now concerning the last days? We are in the very, 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 very last of the last of the last days. Amen. Why was the power of God poured out by the Holy Spirit back then? To equip the believers for the work that God has called them for. Now, you know what? I find it very strange that God would find it necessary to equip the believers 2,000 years ago when there wasn't nearly as much evil as there is right now. And then now, today, He says, you know what? I'm sorry for you, but 2,000 years ago they needed me. Now you don't need the gifts, you don't need the Holy Spirit, you don't need the anointing, and you don't need the power. You must just figure this stuff out for yourselves. Do you realize that the world is a lot more evil now than it was 2,000 years ago? Hello? You know what? If there was pornography 2,000 years ago, you actually had to see the woman. You couldn't just see her on a piece of paper. You couldn't see her on the internet. Amen? All right? There was no such thing as drugs. The worst you did was you ate some fruit that lay in the sun for too long and you were on a lack of block for a while. Okay? I mean, there was no such thing as sniffing stuff and injecting stuff. They hadn't even invented the first pill yet. I think by that stage, nobody had really figured out what dacha was really for, you know. Maybe back then it really had some medicinal qualities. Who knows? The point that I'm trying to make is the world back then versus the world now. We need it so much more now than what they know. I can't say that. They needed it then because God couldn't start the church without them being injected by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, right now, we have the same calling as what they had. We are supposed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. In other words, we have the same calling that they have, and they needed extra help. They needed extra power. God endowed them with gifts to help them in their task. I have the same calling that Peter had. You have the same calling that Paul had. Because the calling of every believer is to make disciples of all nations. It is impossible for you to make disciples in your own strength. Amen? It's just impossible. You can be a wonderfully eloquent speaker. Let me put it to you this way. You can take a man that might be very well versed in politics. You know, politicians, they've all got this funny thingy that they can sell ice to an Eskimo, right? You know, they go, wada, 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 and people just, Okay, now that might work in politics. But you bring a man that has a speaking talent, and you give him a mic and you give him the Bible, and you try and get him to use the same talent that he had to get people to follow him and vote for him, to try and preach a message from the Word of God, and I promise you right now, it'll fall flat. Why? Because the kingdom of God isn't helped by your talent, it is helped by your gift. Because the Holy Spirit works alongside the gifts. Amen? You understand? And that is why it is ludicrous that people can believe that we don't need the gifts of the Holy Spirit right now. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to be able to discern spirits. In other words, to discern between good spirits and bad spirits. Man, I know that demons can't necessarily multiply, but I'm 100% convinced that there's a lot more demonic activity now than there was 2,000 years ago, if you just look at it. I don't know whether they had sects 2,000 years ago. They probably did, but compared to the amount that they have today, you've got Satanism, you've got Rosicrucianism, you've got Baha'i, you've got Wicca, you've got all of these things. I mean, the list is endless. I have a book at home called The Occult ABC. I think that book was written in the early 1900s, and already then they had something like 300 different cults listed in that book. Now, here's the problem. All of these things are working in this world today. Without the gift of the Holy Spirit that will allow you to distinguish or discern what is good and what is evil, the chances are that evil is going to lead you by the nose. Hello? Yes, it is true that Satan can manifest himself as an angel of light, and he does often do that. Now, how are you going to know when it's him or when it's God? If you don't allow the gift of the Holy Spirit to manifest, that will show you whether it's good or whether it's evil. I will never forget. I'm coming to my story. Don't worry, I won't forget. I was in a church many years ago. And I had just been baptized in the Holy Spirit for about a year, maybe 2 years. God had taken me on an accelerated learning curve, and He was teaching me a lot of things, and I was experiencing wonderful things. And one day, I sat in this church, and suddenly A young man popped up. He was probably about 25 years old at the time. He jumped up, he put his hands in the air, and he began to prophesy over the congregation. Now, the moment this young man jumped up and began to prophesy, something inside of me just went, "Ugh." My stomach began to turn. I felt like everything inside of my body was resisting what this young man was doing. Now, I listened to his word, and it was a very strong, harsh word, and it was very critical of the church, and it was very belittling, and I can't really go into all of the details, but something inside of me said to me that God is not speaking here. This is evil. I knew it because my whole body was reacting. You know, like in the old World War II movies, when the Germans are coming and the Allies have to get themselves ready, the siren would go off like, it was almost like I felt that inside of me. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what now? And I got up, I sat right at the back of the church. I got up, I stretched out my hand towards that man and I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke that false spirit. I command you, be silenced in Jesus' name." Instantly when I said that, the man collapsed and he started having like a kind of a spasm, or, you know, some demon in him started to manifest immediately. If I did not have the gift of the Holy Spirit that day, he would have kept on prophesying rubbish over that congregation. And you know what the Bible says? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they that use it will eat its fruit. Okay? If that thing was allowed to keep on prophesying what it was prophesying over the church, it wasn't prophesying good, it was prophesying evil. It wasn't bringing life, it was bringing death. It was trying to put the congregation in bondage. Now, that doesn't mean that the gift of prophecy is bad, because that wasn't prophesying, that was divination, fortune telling. That was happening there. That was a spirit of divination. That was wara-waraing stuff there. My point is, the gifts, the contrary gifts of divination and fortune telling and sorcery, etc., etc., they are still very alive. Why would God allow them to continue? But we must just try and figure things out for ourselves. That's crazy, man. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need the anointing of God. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit today, just like they needed it 2,000 years ago. In fact, in my opinion, we really do need it a lot more today. So here's my story. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in roughly 1995. I didn't necessarily plan to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. For goodness sakes, I didn't necessarily plan to serve God. I was living far from God. I had nothing to do with God. It's not that I didn't want to have anything to do with Him. Life was just exciting at that stage of my life. You know, I was 23, 24, 25 years old. I was partying every weekend. I had enough money to go on a lekkerjol and come home stikkend gedrink every single night. You understand? And if I had any problems, I would just drink them away. All right? I would ferment a little bit, and then they would go away for a while, and then I would wake up with a headache, and I would just go through the whole same procedure all over and over again. I was living far from God. I knew about God, but I thought later. I would deal with my life later. And so God had other plans for me. And then that one night I was in a church service and the Holy Spirit began to touch my life. I will never forget, I was arrested on the spot and I couldn't leave that church. I wanted to get up. My brain was speaking. My brain was communicating to my legs saying, "Get out of this place." In fact, today I know it wasn't my brain. Some evil spirit was wara-waraing in my ear saying, "Get out of this church. Get out. You don't want to hear this stuff. This is not for you. Leave, leave. You have to leave right now." And I was trying. My brain was sending all the right signals. Now, just so that you know that my brain works, you see there, it still sends the right signals. Okay, I can actually walk, and if I really want to, I can even run. But that night, nothing wanted to work. I sat on that chair, and I felt paralyzed from the waist down. But you know what was busy happening? The Holy Spirit had decided, or God had decided, that this was time for me to start entering into the destiny that He called me for. And my destiny was not to be drunk every single night. It was not to try and deal with my problems by running away from them, because that's all you do when you drink. You run away from your problems, because guess what? When you're sober, they are still there. In fact, they are not just only there, you probably made them worse by drinking. Hello? You know, a lot of wives leave their husbands because they drink. A lot of children won't speak to their fathers because they drink. People lose their jobs because they drink. So it doesn't necessarily make your problems better, but for a while your brain is so bombed out that you can't think of them, so you think that they make it better. They don't. And here I am sitting in this church. I didn't know what I was experiencing. To me, it was like I was in the twilight zone somewhere. You know, what on earth is going on here? I can't leave. I can't move. Nothing wants to work. But you know what worked over time? My ears. If you had to draw a cartoon of me that day, you'd have to draw me like Prince Charles, but just with much bigger ones, yeah? Because I tell you what, my ears were zooming in on this man speaking there. It was like I heard every single word that he was saying. And the word of God was filling me, and it was doing something inside of me that I could not stop. It was just crazy. And there was a war going on inside of me. I could actually feel the war going on. There was this one voice saying, get out of here, get out of here. And then there was this other feeling. It wasn't necessarily a voice. It was just a feeling that this is my moment. This is my opportunity to sort out my life. And then suddenly the sermon was over. And there was an altar call. And instantly, those same two legs that would not work received power from on high. And they worked overtime. By the time I realized what was going on, I'd already given like 5 or 6 steps forward. And I was not like that. I remember many years ago, my father once, I had to go to Sunday school, and he couldn't actually be at the church. And he needed me to go up to the pastor and give him something that he had to announce. And I had to go forward in front of all of those people. Man, I nearly died. It was like, what's my dad doing to me? I have to go forward in church in front of all of these people. You know, I just didn't do stuff like that. But that night it didn't matter, because something was different. It was almost like something was pushing me forward. Because it was time. God had decided that it was time for me to change my life. So anyway, I get there to the front and I'm standing there in the front. Now those same legs that had so much power coming forward, now they didn't have no power anymore. They were going cluck, 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 cluck. You know, that was my knees. And I'm thinking again, man, Jesus, it's not too late. I better get out of this place. And you know what? I'm very shifty. I'm looking for a place to go. I'm like a snake that's been cornered. You know, I'm just check, 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 check. Where can I run? Where can I hide? And I still don't know. It's the glory of God. It's the grace of God. But I never ran. I stood there. And then I was prayed for. And that night I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now take into account that my theology did not include the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I'd never even heard of it. I suppose I'd read it in the Bible because I was religious. I did read my Bible. But I never understood it. I didn't know what it was for. That man prayed for me that night. And the power of God filled me. And something began to happen inside of me that I cannot explain to you, even if I tried. I remember the man speaking. I remember the man talking. I remember the man praying over my life. And the next moment, something entered my body. And something started working on the inside. Now, I say something because back then I didn't know what it was. Today I know it was the Holy Spirit. But back then it was just something. Something began to fill me. I felt a power come into me. And you know what? Why do we drink? Why do we party? Why do we do all of these crazy things that we do? Often it is just to try and cope with life. It is to try and cope with the stuff that is inside. There is hurt inside. There is confusion inside. There is rejection inside. There is fear inside. And we try and deal with it as best as we can. Skink vir my nog 'n dop. Dan voel ek beter. Huh? And you see, I had always tried to fix what was wrong with my life from the outside. You can snip stuff up your nose, but that's coming out from outside working in. You can drink things, but that's from outside working in. You can smoke things, but that's from outside working in. God works from inside. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can touch where the true hurt is. I don't want to be funny, but I'm sure psychologists and psychiatrists and all of those oaks, they can do a good job, but they still, their finger can't touch where the hurt is. The Holy Ghost knows exactly where. You know why? Because God reads you like a book. When God looks at this young man, He doesn't just see the outward, He sees the inward as well. And He sees where he's been hurt, He sees where he's been abused, where people have discouraged him, etc., etc. And God is the only one that knows how to fix it. You know why? Because God has a blueprint. In the heavens right now, there is a blueprint of my life, of how my life should be. Now, a lot of us, when you see your life right now, if you could see your life the way God sees you, versus the blueprint that God has in heaven, you're going to go, oh my God, what went wrong? Because life wasn't kind to a lot of us. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, some of you, you've been divorced once, twice, some of you maybe even three times. Some of you were molested when you were younger. Come on, this is the real world. Stupid things happen out there. People do crazy stuff. Some of you have lost three, four, five jobs. You can't keep a job down. What do you think that's done inside of you? Some of you have made very stupid mistakes. What do you think that's done to your insides? Man, that's brought serious anger. Lots of pain. Lots of hurt. Now here's the thing. That has altered the way that you are. Your experiences have began to alter you. They have changed you. You know what? If you take a young tree and you keep beating it with a stick, it's not going to grow straight anymore. It's going to go all crooked, 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 and eventually it's going to look weird. That doesn't mean that that thing was programmed to grow that way. Your external influence on that tree made it grow crooked. Now here's the thing. The Bible says sin causes us to grow crookedly. Hello? God destined me to grow straight as an arrow. But sometimes through things people do to me and things that I do to myself and things that I expose myself to, instead of me growing up straight, I might be growing in a very crooked way. My point is this. The blueprint that God has for my life will still show me 100% straight. Who's the only one that can restore my life to the way that I'm supposed to be? God. Why? Because He knows what my life is supposed to be like. The pilly key that I pop doesn't know what my life is supposed to be like. It just zonks my mind out so that I don't think about how crooked I am. So that I don't feel the hurt and I don't feel the pain and I don't feel the rejection and I'm not so afraid, I'm not so scared. I don't feel so worthless, so useless. But God knows. And you see, that's what was starting to happen. When the Holy Spirit began to fill my life that night, instantly He began to address the serious hurt and anger and pain and stuff in my life that I'd always tried to deal with my way, but the wrong way. And I felt this power inside of me. I fell down on the floor. A lot of people are very... what's the word that I'm looking for? Uncomfortable with people being slain in the spirit. And if you go and read on the internet and you go and read a lot of people's books, they'll tell you that this is the most demonic thing out. I can tell you that that changed my life. When the power of God came into me, I suppose if I really wanted to, I could have remained standing. But there was such an overpowering force filling my body that I just felt, man, there I'm going. And yes, I did fall over. And no, I wasn't unconscious. I knew exactly what was going on around me. I could speak to God the whole time while this was happening. I would suggest that if you were unconscious, you should come for prayer because some ho-ho came into your life. But I was conscious. God didn't take away my ability to reason. He took away my ability to run away. That was it. But I lay there and I felt the finger of God begin to touch. And you know what? I always say to people, it was like I was on an operating table. And the master surgeon was doing open heart surgery on me. He was fixing a bunch of stuff that over years had gone very, very, very wrong in my life. And here I am. I'm responsible for most of them. I did the stupid stuff. I messed up. I brought the devil into my own life. I can't blame anybody else. It was me. I invited those things into my life. And by the grace of God, He began to restore my life. Now here's the interesting thing. As I was lying there, it felt like waves running through my body. And you know what? Today, I have the idea that that was part of God cleansing me. Washing a bunch of rubbish The Bible says, and He sent forth His word and healed them. And the word of God also says that we will be washed by the word of God. You need to be washed when you are filthy, dirty, and unclean. Because I didn't have Jesus in my life, I was exposed to filthy, dirty, unclean stuff. Nobody likes to live in a pigsty, do they? Well, my heart was a pigsty. What do you expect my life was going to be like? Wasn't going to be nice, was it? And you know what? My life wasn't nice. Because I didn't have peace. If I had joy, it was of a passing kind. I never had joy continuously in my life. I needed to do something to be happy. I wasn't happy just for the sake of being happy. And I felt these waves keep going over my body, going over my body, going over my body. And as the waves kept moving over me, every now and then it was like a new fresh infilling. I would feel things leave me. What was it that was leaving me? I don't know, because I couldn't see. All I know is that when I got up from that floor, it felt like I weighed 10, 15 kilograms less. I felt as light as a feather. It was quite amazing that I wasn't floating away. It was the most amazing feeling that I had ever had. Now, I didn't realize it, but that night I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. How can I tell you that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit? It's quite simple. Because the moment that happened in my life changed radically, completely, and totally. I could never speak to people about God. Just like I didn't want to go forward that night when the pastor, that day when I had to go and give the pastor the announcement, because I was afraid, what, people are going to see me, you know, people might actually notice me. I'd rather not be noticed. I couldn't talk to people about God. From that day, it was like somebody had given me, you know, a Bible inside of me. Scripture just started flowing out of me. Sometimes scripture that I hadn't even studied myself. When people would speak to me, these things would just come to me. These things would just come out. Scripture verses. And as people were telling me their problems, things would just fall into place so that I could give them an answer. Things began to make sense. My life began to make sense. Can you believe it? My life started making sense to me. I felt like a different person. I suddenly had boldness. I could speak to people. I could speak to people about God. I never had that boldness before. I couldn't do it. And then the interesting thing is, I never realized it. But I was special. Special in the sense that God had endowed me with spiritual gifts by the power of His Holy Spirit. And those spiritual gifts began to manifest. One of the first spiritual gifts that began to manifest in my life was the gift of discerning of spirits. I would suddenly realize when I was dealing with people that that person has an evil spirit. I know that that sounds weird. And, you know, for a long time, people would never invite me for coffee or tea or cook and tea or nothing because they thought my radar was on at all times and I was going to tell them how many devils they got. And that's not how the gifts of the Holy Spirit works. We went to a man's house just after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. We went to this man's house because he had a poltergeist in the house. There was this old man walking around with a kiri in the house, keeping everybody awake all hours of the night. The kids were all afraid, and him and his wife were all stressed, and they had no peace in this house. So they asked my father to go and pray there, and I just went along for the ride. So my father gets there, he asks them a lot of questions. I'm just tromping around the house thinking how scary this must be to live in a house like that, you know. And they went down into the basement. And at some stage, I followed them into the basement. So we get down into the basement, and I look in front of me. My father was standing in front of the pillar. I remember that. And as he turned and faced the man, I could see the pillar, and there was this mask hanging on the pillar. Now, you remember that sound that I told you that I felt, or that feeling that I felt when that young man was prophesying? And I suddenly knew that this is not God. Everything inside of me knew that this is not God. I got that same feeling when I looked straight at that mask. It was like there was an alarm going off in my system. Without realizing it, I suddenly pointed my finger and I said to the man, that is the cause of the evil in your house. Your house is being cursed by this thing because it is an accursed object. You have to destroy it and get rid of it. So the man looked at me. Yeah, no problem. You know what? If you've been harassed by an evil spirit like that, you also don't ask questions. You just do. And so the gentleman immediately took this mask off. He had actually brought it from, he went on, I can't remember exactly where, but I think he went, let's say, on holiday to Tahiti or something. And it was one of their masks, you know, those funny masks that they've got with the weird hair curling all over the place and what. He brought one of those masks and he put it in his house. It was an accursed object. Why? Because it was a depiction of what they believe, their religion. But they worship demons. They worship false gods. And it is a form of their worship. It is a form of their communication with the demons that they worship. In other words, it was like the devil's telephone being in his house, calling the devil every single day, come back, come back, come back. All right, I explained it to him. Well, I could explain it to him later. In fact, I think my father probably did more of the explaining than me. When they destroyed that thing instantly, the problems left their house. But how did I know about that? I didn't. I had not read one book on that subject before in my life. I just knew that I knew when I saw that thing. Why? Because the gift inside of me began to manifest. What I also never realized is that God had given me the gift of prophecy. I never really knew nothing about people. And I must be honest, until today, I'm still not a good judge of necessarily character. I know that that is true because a lot of people have done corrupt business with me and I never saw it coming. But there is a big difference between a person's character and an evil spirit manifesting. Some people just have corrupt character. They choose to be that way. You can't blame the devil for everything. But sometimes there is the actual working of an evil spirit, and that's the purpose of the gift, is to discern what is good and what is evil from a spiritual sense. Okay, so the Lord had touched my life. My life began to change. The Lord started giving me word for people. I would be praying or meditating on the word of God or praying for somebody, and slowly but surely things would just begin to filter into my system. And I realized that after a while I have to write these things down. And I began to give them to the people. And 99.9% of the time, the reaction was one of complete surprise, shock, and most of the people just burst out crying when they read. Why? Because I would know things about their life that nobody else knows. Now again, I want to say to you that that is not a thing that you can turn on and turn off the way that you want to, because it doesn't function that way. The gifts of God are not fortune telling, all right? You go to a fortune teller, she'll always have something to say to you. The gift of prophecy works when the Holy Spirit wants it to work, otherwise it doesn't work. And if I try and prophesy something over your life when God isn't speaking, then I'm doing fortune telling and I'm cursing my life and yours. So I'd rather just keep quiet if I don't have anything to say. You understand? But all of these things started happening in my life after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Another amazing thing that happened in my life was I had read my Bible from way back when. I got my first Bible when I was in grade 1. I actually think I still have it at home somewhere in a box. It was one of those Bibles that had the pink on the sides. You remember those Bibles? Old school Bible. I spent many, many hours reading that Bible. But I must be very honest with you. All those hours, I had very little to show for it because I never really made any sense of what was happening in the Bible. You know, it was to me a very confusing book. Anybody relate to that? Yeah, it was very confusing. And I would read here and I would read there and I would, yesterday, man, this stuff doesn't make sense. After that day, you cannot believe how the Word of God suddenly just fell into place and things began to make sense. And you know, sometimes I would be reading the Bible and it would be like, God is talking to me. I know that sounds weird. But out of the Scriptures, things that was written down 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, God would be speaking to me about my life, speaking to me about my circumstances. And these things began to make sense. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. I don't. You see, before I was trying to figure God out with my intellect, I was trying to understand God. The Bible says if you try and understand God, it'll be foolishness unto you. But I no longer needed to understand God with my carnal mind, because the Spirit of God dwelled inside of me that knew the thoughts of God and that could speak to me. So what I'm trying to say is my life changed drastically after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was 4 years after I was baptized, or 5 years after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that I knew that God had called me to work for Him full time, that I entered into ministry. And I've been full time in ministry now. This year is my 10th year that I'm full time in ministry. And you know what? If you asked me when I was still at school, what would happen in my future? If you gave me 1,000 different guesses, not one of them would have been what I'm living right now, because I did not know. And I had no way of knowing. But when God came into my life, and when I began to allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life, you cannot believe how the direction of my life began to change. It didn't happen overnight. Because in a lot of areas I was resistant, I was hesitant, and I thought, no, I don't want to do that, I want to do this. And then God would just leave me for a while, but He'd always start bringing me back again. And eventually I began to learn that it's better to go with Him than to go against Him. My life has changed completely. You know, I never had peace. I have a lot of peace now. I don't have to run after other stuff to have fulfillment, because I am fulfilled. My life is fulfilled. I love what I do. I'm extremely blessed. I'm one of the most blessed people that you know. If you're also blessed, well, God bless you, but I'm blessed. I know God blesses me. God takes care of me. He takes care of my family. There is no problem that I cannot solve because He is with me. I'm not trying to take Jesus out of the picture. Please listen to me. Jesus is the reason why the Holy Spirit was allowed to come into my life in the first place. And the Holy Spirit doesn't glorify Himself. He doesn't glorify me. He glorifies Jesus Christ in my life. I thank Jesus for what God does in my life by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to share with you something interesting. I want to share with you that there is a difference between just being filled with the Holy Spirit, or receiving the Holy Spirit, and actually being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I want to share that is because a lot of people just don't understand that there are these two things that we can go through. I'm going to say this to you, and I say this respectfully, because I come from a traditional church background. I come from a Protestant background. And we are not taught this stuff. In our upbringing, it is referred to. I spoke to a Protestant preacher once, and he said to me, "Rion, we know God the Father because we have to. He's God. We know Jesus Christ because you can't get to God without Him, so we have to know Him. But the Holy Spirit, we just confess Him on a Sunday. I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have no experience of Him, and we do very little teaching on Him because we don't understand Him." That was a minister who had been a minister at that stage for probably 30 years. That was his view on the Holy Spirit. That's sad. A lot of churches don't understand the Holy Spirit. They don't understand the working of the Holy Spirit, and they don't understand the gifts. Therefore, it's easy. When somebody starts messing with the gifts, you tell them, "Listen, yeah, it stopped when the apostles died," because then you don't have to confront it, and you don't have to deal with it. But you can't make like it's not there, because it is. It is. The Holy Spirit is still here. He still wants to work in my life, just like He worked in Peter's life, just like He worked in Paul's life, just like He worked in Jesus' life. I'm supposed to be like Jesus. What did He do? He worked by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. How can I do any different? Huh? Jesus said we will do the same things that He has done, and we will do even greater things. My friend, try and do those greater things in your flesh. You can't. You can't do nothing. Right. John chapter 20, verse 19 to 22. "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and He said, 'Peace be with you.' After He said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Now the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord again." Sorry. "Again Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that He breathed on them and He said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Now, let's look at what is happening there. The Bible starts off and it says to us that on the evening of the first day of the week, which was the Sabbath, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, why were the doors locked? They were afraid of the Jews. Why were they afraid of the Jews? Simple. The Jews killed Jesus. And they were trying to destroy what Jesus came to do. Now, you can't just kill Jesus, you have to kill his disciples as well. Otherwise, you can't get rid of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So, you see, the thing is, after Jesus died, the Jews were also trying to find the disciples to kill them also. Because they were trying to eradicate Christianity from the face of this earth. Satan was using them very powerfully to bring destruction, to try and stop. And so, yes, they were all together. Why were they together? Because misery loves company. You know, they were like, oh, you know, we've got no life anymore. Jesus has died. Nobody cares about us anymore. He's just left us in the lurch. What are we going to do? Oh, woe is me. So they were all sitting there having a real pity party, all stressed out, you know, too afraid to go anywhere. And suddenly the Bible says, Jesus came and stood amongst them. Now, what did you notice about the door? The door is what? The door is locked. Jesus wasn't a locksmith, let me tell you that. He was a carpenter. So the door was locked and suddenly he's standing in their midst. What does that tell you? How did he come into that room? Poof. And he was there. If you're sitting in a house, all afraid, and suddenly a man is standing there, what would you do? They needed 11 new pairs of underpants, I can promise you that. Like instantly, man. There was big stress in that room. Suddenly Jesus was standing there. And it's obvious that they were falling apart, you know? Because Jesus says to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. What is he really saying? Calm down, calm down, calm down. And then he says again, he shows them his hands and he shows them his side, and again he says, peace be with you. Now, why did he show them his hands and why did he show them his side? What was the purpose of that? Because they saw with their own eyes the nails going through his hands. They saw with their own eyes the spear coming into his side. And you see, they thought they'd seen a ghost. And he was showing them that it's really me. Listen, young man, if you saw somebody buried and 3 days later he's standing in your room, you'd need a lot of proof before you start running. Eh? Or you would start running. So he was simply being practical. He was showing them, this is really me. Calm down. Okay. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Okay, in other words, by the time they had all calmed down and they'd figured out, yes, it truly is Jesus, they started feeling a lot better. In fact, they were not just feeling better, they were overjoyed. All right. Jesus again said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Oh. So what just happened? Well, we know that they received the Holy Spirit, but what was the purpose of the Holy Spirit and why did he come upon them in that moment? In order for you to understand that, I want to take you to another scripture in the Bible, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Some of you probably know it quite well. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Listen carefully. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 shows us the New Testament criteria for salvation. Okay? How can I be saved from a New Testament point of view? How can I enter into a covenant with God through Jesus Christ? The Bible says two things must happen. You must believe that He is God, that He is Lord. You must confess it with your mouth. Romans 10 verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The disciples had to meet the same criteria that you and I meet. No matter that they walked with Jesus, no matter that they saw signs and wonders and miracles, this is the way God works. Now let's quickly look. In the past, did they have opportunity to believe that he is the Son of God? Did they have opportunity in the past to confess with their mouth that he is Lord? Yes. I remember distinctly that Jesus was walking down the road and he asked a question. He said, "Who do the people say that I am?" And the disciples answered, "Well, some say that you are John the Baptist, and some say that you are Elijah, or some say that you are some prophet." And then Jesus said, "Okay, that's what some say. What do you say?" And then Peter stood up and he said, "Surely you are Jesus Christ, the Son of God." He confessed with his mouth that Jesus is Lord. But was that good enough to save him? No. Because salvation comes when you believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that he gave his life for you. And in order to believe that, you must believe that God has risen him from the dead. Yes, where the problem comes in, he had to actually die before they could believe in his resurrection. So the thing is, all of them had confessed with their mouth prior to this encounter with Jesus, but none of them ever had the opportunity to believe in his resurrection. Because if you believe in his resurrection, you believe in what he's done for you. So that day when Jesus came and stood in their midst, he was going to give them for the first time the opportunity to enter into New Testament salvation. And yes, this is what happened. When he stood in that room and everybody was freaking out and having a panic attack and very stressed, he proved to them in ways that they could understand that it was truly him. He was not a ghost, he was not a spirit. And so each of them had to work this out in their own mind. Do I believe it or don't I? And eventually all of them got to a place where, yes, yes. That's why eventually they were overjoyed, because they believed. Now if they confess with their mouth and they believe in their heart, what happens? Then you will be saved. Now how do you get saved? Something supernatural must happen, because we were born in the kingdom of darkness. Hello? I hope there's none of you here that believe that because your mommy served God and your grandfather was a preacher, etc., etc., you were born a Christian, because that's just rubbish. You were not born a Christian. You were born a heathen just like I was. Did any of your parents teach you to be naughty? If so, bring them with next week. We will lay hands on them and pray for them. Your parents didn't teach you to be naughty, but I promise you there is not one of you that wasn't naughty when you were a child. And the funny thing about a child is you don't teach a child to be naughty. That comes from itself. It's like it comes from within. But man, you battle to get them to be good. Look, I've got three boys now. One is 12, one is 7, and one is 4 months. I have no problems with the one that is 4 months old, because he doesn't understand nothing yet. But the other two, my goodness, let me tell you something. It's a continual battle to get them to be good. Because they have the same nature that I had when I was young. I've still got that same nature. If I don't spend time with God, I'm telling you what, the lure of the dark side is strong. It's pulling, sucking. That's why we need Jesus Christ, and that's why we need to be saved. We were born in darkness. You have to somehow be released from the darkness and enter into the light. Now that's something supernatural. Jose, quickly stand. Just turn around and smile at all the people. Now I choose the shortest oak in the room. Now.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, thank you. All right, listen here. Quickly show us how you release yourself from darkness.
How do I release myself from darkness? Well, if I keep my eyes closed, I can't see anything.
No. It's got nothing to do with your eyes. Let's just say, I'm just trying to show you that he can't do it himself. Let's just say that he's born in darkness. He belongs to the devil, whether he likes it or not. His wife's got this knowing smile. What does she know that I don't? I'm only joking. Okay, so he belongs to the devil, and somehow show us, how do you release yourself? What do you do to get yourself free? Can you do it? Come on, try harder, man. I'm sure you can. Yeah, he's correct. You can't. You can sit down again. He can't do it, but somebody else can. Jesus can. You know why? Because Jesus knows what needs to be done. He needs to be released from the kingdom of darkness and brought over into the kingdom of light. The one that does that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can pick you up out of the pit of darkness, and he can put you in the kingdom of light. You can't do that yourself. If salvation was something that man could do himself, man would not need God. That's why we need God. And that's one of the roles, that's one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus stood in front of them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." At that moment, the purpose of the Holy Spirit filling them was to pick them up out of darkness and put them in the light. From that moment on, their lives would never be the same again. Why? Because they were no longer walking in darkness. They were walking in the light. They had entered into the kingdom of God. So please understand that what happened here in the book of John chapter 20 verse 19 to 22, yes, they did receive the Holy Spirit, but understand the purpose. The purpose was salvation. Amen? So that they might be saved. Okay. Luke chapter 24 verse 36 to 49. Sorry, can I quickly have my Bible? Luke chapter 24 verse 36 to 49. Let's quickly go there. This is a similar account to the one we just read in John, written from Luke's perspective. Now let me explain something to you. Both Luke and John wrote on the same topic, but you know what it's like? If five different people see the same event, and you go and you question them afterwards, they will all tell you the same story, each one with their own little twist. Because this one saw that much clearer, and that one remembers this much clearer. But if you put it all together, you get the big picture. Now, that's what we're trying to do. Luke and John both saw the same thing happen, but both of them focus on a little bit of a different perspective. And that's going to help us to get good perspective. So, Luke 24, verse 36 to verse 39. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood amongst them and he said, "Peace be with you." Now, where have we heard that before? In John 20. They were locked in the room, they were very scared, they were very stressed, and suddenly Jesus stands there. Now, verse 37, they were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. You see, I wasn't lying. They did think that they saw a ghost, and that's why he had to calm them down. Peace be with you. Calm down. Peace be with you. Right. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. I'm not going to read it everything because it's too much. I'm just going to read you verse 49. "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." As Jesus prepares to leave, he says to them, "Listen, you guys, remember my Father gave you a promise. You will receive that promise, but don't leave the city of Jerusalem because the promise will be given in the city of Jerusalem. Stay here and wait for the promise of my Father." Now, what is the promise of the Father? In John 14 and John 16, Jesus was speaking to them about the Holy Spirit that they would later receive. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "If anybody is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. As the scripture says, he will never thirst again, and streams of living water will come flowing from within you." Jesus often reminded them that there would come a day when they would receive the promise of the Holy Spirit living inside of them. They also knew about this promise because in the Old Testament it is said that there will come a day, says the Lord, that I will give them a new heart, a heart of flesh, and I will put a new spirit in them. Ezekiel chapter 36. So they knew. They were not foreign to this. They knew that someday man would be able to receive the Holy Spirit. And so just as Jesus is about to leave, after they have had this experience with him, what happened in this experience? They received the Holy Spirit. Yet before he leaves, even though they have received the Holy Spirit, he says, "Listen, young, wait for the promise. It's coming." That means that the receiving of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit cannot be the same thing. It's impossible. Because they've already received the Holy Spirit and Jesus says, "There's more. Wait for it. There's more. You'll get more." Okay. Now, we go to the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. This is the last time that Jesus spent any time physically with the disciples. It is the day that he was taken up into heaven. It's the day that he ascended into heaven. We can't go into all of it. You go read your Bible, you'll see that I'm not lying. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Just before he was taken up into the clouds, he says this to the disciples. For a second time he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is come on you, and you will be my witnesses. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Up until now, even though they received the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20, they have made no impact on the surrounding area. What happened was a purely internal, purely self experience. They got born again, but the fact that they got born again didn't necessarily change them in a way that they went out and suddenly changed the world. Did they know how to cast out devils? Did they know how to cast out devils? Yeah, because they walked with Jesus and they did it. Luke chapter 17, they came back, Lord, Lord, even the demons believe. Even the demons had to leave in your name. They knew how to cast out devils. Did they know how to heal the sick? Yes. Because they'd already gone out and healed the sick, and they had already gone out and preached the gospel of the kingdom, just like Jesus did. Now, here's the problem. Even though they have received the Holy Spirit, and even though the rain is good, rain is a blessing. I might have to just turn up the amplifier a bit. Okay. Even though they had received the Holy Spirit, and even though they knew how to preach, they knew how to cast out devils, they knew how to heal the sick, none of them had done it. You go read your Bible. Not one of them had actually done it. Why not? Because they lacked the one key ingredient, the power. They could do it before because Jesus was with them and they were working under His anointing. Hello? It was His anointing that was bringing forth the signs and the wonders and the miracles. They spent time with Him. They received the anointing from Him. They went out and that anointing, Jesus' anointing, flowed. They did not yet have any anointing of their own, if that makes sense to you. And you can't do signs, wonders, and miracles unless you have anointing. Anointing makes the supernatural power of God manifest. Without anointing, you can't make anything manifest. Right. Just before Jesus leaves, He reminds them again, listen, wait in this city, for you will receive power from on high. Amen. Well, bless God. So, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound like the blowing of a mighty wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the promise of the Father. This is them being filled with the Holy Spirit. In the previous account, John chapter 20, when they received the Holy Spirit, something inside of them changed, something about their life changed, they left darkness and they came into the light, but they didn't touch anybody else. Now there's a problem with that. Your and my calling is to make disciples of all the nations. If I don't have the boldness to talk to somebody about Jesus, how am I going to make disciples? Hello? It's not going to work very well, is it? And that was what was wrong. In fact, if you go and read in the book of John chapter 21, when they left the house, Peter said, I'm going back to fishing. Go read it. It's there. It's in the Bible. He walked with Jesus. He did signs, He did wonders, He did miracles, He cast out devils, He healed the sick, He experienced the power of God, and the only thing He could think of doing is, I think I'm going to go back to fishing. Do you realize that that is taking like 100 steps backwards? from where he's supposed to be. You know why? Because in himself he didn't have the drive to do what God called him to do. He needed supernatural power to enable him to do that. And that's why Jesus kept reminding them, wait for the power, wait for the power, be expectant, it's coming, it's coming. You know, a lot of people say we're not allowed to get you to get all emotional and charged up. Jesus was trying to get them emotional and charged up to be expectant. The power is coming. The power is coming. Wait for it. Expect it. You know, a while ago I preached to you a message where I shared with you that Jesus said to the two sick men, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Faith is having an expectancy, expecting God to do something. Of course, you're supposed to have an expectancy, otherwise you don't have faith, man. No, faith might not be an emotion, but sometimes emotion will help. Yes, Lord, I know you can do it. Yes, Lord, thank you. I'm waiting, I'm expecting. This miracle is coming. Jesus was saying to them, be expectant, be expectant, be expectant. You know why? Because as we expect, we develop faith. Amen? And we need faith. And then suddenly, boom, the power of God fell. Now, I'm not going to focus on that too much. I want to say this, however. After they received the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20, Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. 10 steps back. After he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he stood up in front of 3,000 people, made his voice known, and preached his first sermon. How's that for a difference? Can you see that the man before and the man after is not the same man? And he quotes scripture. That is scary. Peter was a fisherman, man. He knew nothing about the Bible. And you know what? When Jesus was around, Jesus was the one teaching the Bible. They didn't have to do nothing. But suddenly, after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, when the power of God had filled him and released something that was inside of him, can I tell you something? What Peter never knew. Often he would sit there and he would look at Jesus and he would probably think, man, he's got such a nice way with words. Yesterday, listen to all that wisdom. Where does he get all this wisdom from? Yes, it would be so wonderful to just have a gift like he has. He never realized it, but he had the same gift. Or he had a similar gift. Because he was an evangelist. He was a teacher. Just like Jesus. But until the power of God was inside of him, he never knew it. He never realized it was there. But the moment the power of God fell upon him, it released that which was always inside of him. Your car cannot work without oil, can it? You know, the thing is, I can take a very nice car. Let's say we go to BMW and we order the latest 335 BMW. I don't know what it costs. It's way too much. I can't afford it. But in this make-believe world that we are creating, we go, we take this car, they deliver it to our house. We're all excited. Everybody's chuff, chuff, chuff. We've got this new car. Very excited. But there's no oil in the engine. Will it run? No. Why not? Because it needs that oil. That oil allows that potential to be made manifest. It's the same with you and I. There is a lot of potential in every single person sitting here tonight, but some of you don't realize what it is because you don't know what it is because the oil hasn't filled you and allowed it to begin to work. The Holy Spirit is synonymous with oil. That's why the Holy Spirit anoints people. He's referred to as the oil of God that gives you God's power. Now, from that point of view, just like an oil will allow the things in a car's engine to work at optimum performance, so the Holy Spirit allows that which God has placed inside of me that I might not know is there to suddenly begin to function. Man, what is this stuff inside? I never knew it was there. Yeah, but God knew it was there. And that's why He wants, God is speaking to me and you and every one of us in the same way that He spoke to the disciples many years ago. Wait for the power. You can't go out into the world and try and evangelize the world and change the world in your own strength because you don't have it. You don't have the wisdom to do it. You need the anointing. Jesus gives the anointing. And that's what happened here. So, Acts 1 verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. The same Peter that was hiding in a little loft room because he was afraid of the Jews. Listen, young man, there was 3,000 people hanging around there. And if they wanted him dead 40 days ago, who says they don't still want him dead today? But you see, suddenly today, he doesn't have any of the fear that he had 40 days ago. Hello? There's no fear. Why not? Because when the Holy Ghost came in, the Holy Ghost took the fear away. When the Holy Ghost came in, he gave him direction. He gave him vision. He gave him purpose. He gave purpose to his life. And suddenly Peter knew, this is what I'm supposed to do. And he began to do it. Matthew 28 verse 18. And then Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Mark 16:15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Listen to me. The same command that God gave the disciples back then, God gives to you and I today. We are to make disciples of all nations. We are to go to the ends of the earth and preach the good news. This is why some can't do it. Because they have never really received the power necessary to allow them to do it. Every single one of you can make a difference in somebody's life. And possibly you are trying right now to make a difference in somebody's life, but for some reason things just don't want to work out. Why? Well, there could be a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons is you need God's power to make godly change in people's lives. Without God's power, you can only bring about worldly change in people's lives. And worldly change is not good change. Godly change brings about the difference people need. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. The Greek word for power is the word dunamis. What does that word remind you of? Dunamis. Dynamite. Because that's exactly what it means. The Greek word for dunamis means dynamite. That's where we get our word dynamite from. Now, from a spiritual point of view, when we look at the word dunamis, when it is used in conjunction with the Holy Spirit filling somebody, it means it's got 1, 2, 3, 4 different meanings. First one, that which manifests the power of God. So the dunamis of God, when it fills you, it allows you to manifest the power of God. Secondly, it means mighty works or powers. We cannot do mighty works of our own accord. God is the one that does mighty works, that does miracles. The third one is miracles, and the last one is mighty deeds. Now, there's a subtle difference in all of them, but what you need to know about them is it is the supernatural power of God being made manifest in our lives, in the lives of people that God sends us to minister to. It brings godly change. All right. So, when Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it included the fact that God will allow miracles to happen through your life, in your life, and in the people that God sends you to. It includes the fact that the power of God will manifest in your life. Why is that necessary? Because you need it. If you want to make a difference in somebody's life, you want to make a godly difference, you need godly power to do that. Some of you need godly power in your own life, for your own life, because things are not lacquer. You're trying to fix things, you're trying to do things, and it just keeps failing. Well, what do you need? You need some supernatural vuma. You need some supernatural power. Well, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it brings you into a dimension when these things can begin to happen. I'm not trying to make it cheap. Please listen to me. I'm not trying to say that the Holy Spirit must now come into your life and He must sort out all your problems. He'll help you to sort out all your problems to the glory of God. Remember, the Holy Spirit does not come to glorify Himself or man. He comes to glorify Jesus. Jesus said He will not glorify anybody but me. When the Holy Spirit works in a person's life, He glorifies Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to stop there for tonight. I want to say this to you. A lot of us come from churches where it is like that pastor said to me. We know God, we know Jesus, because we realize we need them. We don't really know the Holy Spirit. We confess Him. I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We don't experience Him. And so, He's this enigma. He's this unknown person of the Trinity that we have respect for Him, but we're a little bit dubious about Him because we don't really know how He works. Now you see, that's just sad. Because without Him, and without knowing Him, you can't be who you are supposed to be in the kingdom of God. Without Him in your life is a lie. Because the blueprint that God has and the man that's sitting here or the woman that's sitting here is not the same thing. Because only the Holy Spirit can bring you to that place. You know what? After the Holy Spirit came into my life, everything in my life changed. Everything. The direction of my life, the course of my life, who I am, my personality, everything about me changed. Let me tell you something, there is no way, if I was fueling that from my flesh, from myself, that I could keep that change constant. It has been 15 years, I've never gone back. Oh, the devil's tripped me a lot of times. I've got lots of scrapes and bruises all over to prove to you that he's been working in my life, but I can tell you what, I'm down but not out for the count. Because every time when the devil thinks Rian is down now, we've managed to do something, then suddenly the power of God is upon me again and I'm resurrected just like Jesus. And there I go again. Bless God. Devil's given me a hard time and I give him a headache every now and then. God is for me, not against me. He makes me the head and not the tail. But there was one person that needed to come into my life, that needed to become a reality to me. And that was the Holy Spirit. Until He became a reality in my life, none of these things happened. I never experienced Him until He came into my life. Just like He came into my life, I believe He wants to come into every single one of your lives. You know what? I don't know what He's going to do when He comes into your life, but I know that in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, and next week we'll probably look at that more. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, God looked at this earth. The Bible says it was formless, it was empty, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. The word formless, what does formless look like? You can't say it's got no form. It's not square, it's not round, it's not rectangular, it's not triangular, it's got no shape. In other words, it's a little bit chaotic. It was empty. Empty is a problem. You go to your cupboards and it's empty, it's a problem. You turn the key in your tank, it's empty, it's a problem. We don't like empty. Empty is not good. Hello? There needs to be something. Amen? We can get excited about something, but empty is a problem. It was formless, it was empty, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. Darkness. Darkness is okay when you want to sleep, but darkness is not good when you want to live your life. Because darkness is a problem. You can't see. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. The surface of the deep. In other words, there was no land. There was land, but it was mixed with water. What do you get when you mix water with land? You get mud. What was down here before the Holy Ghost came and sorted out the problem? There was a confusing, disastrous, muddy pit. That's all there was. It was chaos. And then, you know what? God is a God of order. And one day God decided it's best I bring some order to the chaos. And God spoke these words and He said, let there be light. But what happened just before God spoke these words? Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Now the Spirit of God was hovering above the waters. In other words, who was the person that was there where the problem was? The Holy Spirit. Who brought order out of chaos? The Holy Spirit. Who brought light out of darkness? The Holy Spirit. Who brought beauty out of ashes? Or out of mud? The Holy Spirit. And you see, He wants to do the same thing for me, and He wants to do the same thing for you. When the Holy Spirit comes, He changes, He transforms, He rejuvenates. That's what He does. And He gets excited about that. Because that's His purpose. Amen?